Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Throughout history, there have been individuals who have not only prayed that prayer, but walked it out as a lifestyle day by day. Each of these people have a story about creating and maintaining a revival culture wherever the Holy Spirit leads. This podcast is about capturing those stories and telling them to the world. So whether you are driving down the road, cutting your grass, working out, or just relaxing on your couch, thank you for choosing to join us for our Revival Chats.
All right, well, welcome back. This is another episode of Revival Chats. And not only is it another episode, it's another special edition episode. This is part two of the second sermon that Aaron preached down at Fairhaven Christ Fellowship on November 22nd. Again, I'm your host, Spencer Lloyd, and I just want to say thank you again so much for choosing to be along with us as we sit down and we have these discussions with people as we hear this teaching. Anyway, enjoy this, and we'll talk to you soon.
The king had appointed Gedaliah, the son of some dude, over the land, and he had put him in charge of the men, women, and children, those of the poorest of the land who had not been exiled to Babylon. So then you've got Jeremiah in the midst of a people who are in exile and their leadership is in disarray and most of them have been carted off. These guys are left. And Jeremiah, by the way, is not wringing his hands and saying, "Oh God, what are we going to do?" He's being who he's called to be. Church, do you hear me? Yeah. He's not wringing his hands saying, "We're in exile, what are we going to do?" So then you've got this guy, Gedaliah. They're eating bread there in chapter 41. So they're having a meal. Everybody should be safe. Everybody should be honored culturally. And we got one of those like Julius Caesar situations where a group of guys comes in, led by a guy, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men who were with them arose and struck down Gedaliah. And they put to death the one whom the king of Babylon had appointed over the land. If you're Jeremiah, this is really bad news. One thing you do not want to do if you're already in exile is flip the double bird at Nebuchadnezzar or whoever the king is of Babylon and say, "I'm glad you're over there. We got this. Thanks." The king of Babylon's the boss and somebody decided we don't like what he's saying. You know what's going to happen now? Heads are going to roll. That's the order of the day. You with me so far? They put him to death. Ishmael, this guy, started doing what the church does in the prayer closet a lot of the times. Looks at the situation and says, "How can I put my hands on this and fix it? There's some stuff that needs to happen. I'm going to go do it now." Obviously, King David ain't here. So we're going to go take care of this. And he goes and really moves things on the ground. He deposes a rightful leader of the situation governmentally. He kills him. He doesn't talk about it. He kills him. He makes stuff happen on the ground, Georgine. You want to know something interesting about this guy? He was a direct descendant of the man I just referred to, taking the head off of Goliath. David said, "Who are you to defy the armies of the living God?" He said, "By God, I am going to," I didn't mean that in the cursey way, "by God, I am going to," and then he names the things he's going to do, and with the strength the Lord gave him, David deposed the enemy's ruler. David deposed of the day, Goliath, took him out, set things right, and was the rightful king over a nation. Now you've got a descendant. Because of sin, some years later, centuries later, trying to do it not in the spirit, but in the flesh. You with me so far? Then, the next day after this happens, this must be an important one. I keep being, my mouth's going dry. This doesn't happen to me very often. When it does, it gets my attention. Oh, that coffee's good, but that water might do better. Now 80 men come from Shechem. I'm in Jeremiah chapter 41, verse 4. From Shiloh and from Samaria. These very well may be people that are descendant of a move that Hezekiah or Asa was a part of. Like, they've got a heritage where something godly has happened. There's been something that we would call revival happen, where idols are being torn down and Asherim are falling. These are people that have seen God move in a society. But then in 722, the Assyrians come. Bad stuff happens. Judgment. So you've got descendants of that mess. Now they're coming. 80 of them. And they've got obviously a little twisted idea of how to worship the Lord, because they're mixing in some sort of okay stuff with cutting themselves and grieving. And it sounds a little bit like the prophets of Baal, doesn't it? And here's Ishmael. He's already got blood on his hands, right? I'm a descendant of David. We're going to take care of this. He wipes him out. He wipes him out, and then he goes to a well that's dug in revival to take care of things the right way and fills it with the dead bodies of people that are coming to worship the God where the temple used to be before sin got it destroyed. This gets wicked when you start trying to handle it in the flesh real fast, doesn't it? I mean, this is in the Bible. I'm not just like reading Time magazine here. It's in there for a reason. Then this other dude, Yohanan. They heard about what Ishmael had done, and they went after him. Then that nonsense sort of stops because they take care of things, and you'll have to read it on your own. But this guy who was something else, they kind of stopped the flow of that, and read the rest of that story on your own for the sake of time. I heard you, Kathy, but that'd be a lot longer sermon walking through all that. But now you've got this Yohanan guy who rose up against the guy trying to handle it in the flesh. Now he is, what's the word? The commanders of the forces, verse 42, verse 1. Chapter 42, verse 1. Yohanan and this other guy, Jezaniah, the son of, man, there's a lot of words. And all the, yeah, thank you. And all the people, both small and great, approached. This is absolutely mind-blowing. So you've just had a society that's already in exile, completely in disarray. You got like Julius Caesar, like make a play story stuff going on, people getting murdered and people that are halfway sort of worshiping God and just nonsense on nonsense on nonsense. And Jeremiah is there for it. Daniel is somewhere near. You hearing what I'm saying? Like, these guys exist, and you say, how could bad things happen to good people? Like, Jeremiah was in the middle of this. And we have the, like, do you ever thought about that? You have the audacity to ask why bad things happen to good people right after you watch The Passion of the Christ. You know what I mean? Like, after you read the story of the rich young ruler. Did we ever exalt ourselves after reviewing what I just did about Adam and Eve? Please let our petition come before you, Jeremiah. So now, in the middle of this stuff, something happens that's unbelievable, that never happens. All of the community, all means all, right? All the people, all of them, how many prophets have needed this in all the history of Israel? All of them came to Israel, to Jeremiah, and said, give us the word of the Lord. This is an amazing scene. All of them come. All this stuff's been going on, all this soap opera stuff. Please, verse 2, let our petition come before you and pray for us to the Lord. Here's the kicker, your God. Oh, praise the Lord. I thought we had a CPR situation. We had a coffee got spilled situation. Okay. I can deal with that. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 42. Everybody doing okay? Please let our petition come before you. Pray for us that the Lord, to the Lord your God, that is for all this remnant. I told you God always has a remnant, right? Always. Because we are left but a few out of many. As your own eyes now see us, that the Lord your God may tell us the way in which we should walk and the thing that we should do. Now that's what a true people of God ought to be asking a prophet. Tell us the way we should walk and tell us the thing we should do. But they don't stop there. Then Jeremiah, now listen, you ask a prophet for a word and he gives you one, now you're responsible. I've heard you. I have heard you. Behold, I'm going to pray to the Lord your God. Now he says it differently because he knows the order of it. Whether or not you think he's your God, he's your God. You said he's my God, I say he's our God. Whether you're acting like it or not, it's irrelevant to Jeremiah. He knows who's God. In accordance with your words, I'm going to pray, he said. And I will tell you the whole message which the Lord will answer you. Now we got a prophet on the scene. Goodness, we're done with that nonsense. Now we got a man on the scene. Somebody who's standing up doing, now we got a David on the scene. Now we got somebody with a sword in their hand ready to chop the head off something. You hear what I'm saying? I will not keep back a word from you. He knows who he's talking to. He knows he's looking at murderers and cowards. I won't keep back a word from you. Then they said to Jeremiah these damning words. May the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we do not act in accordance with the whole message with which the Lord your God will send to us. These people are scared. They are aware of what Ishmael did. They know that they got a comeuppance coming from the king of Babylon. They know that when word gets back, buddy, we are in deep doo-doo. And so they kind of sort of do the church thing. They go talk to the prophet and say, can we like hire you? Can we give you some silver? Can you do your God thing so we get that blessing thing that it talks about in the thing that we haven't read? Does it sound familiar to anyone? You haven't seen somebody in 4 decades and a prayer line rings when they get a cancer diagnosis. It's not cancer they need to be scared with. It's a living God. Not cancer that they need to be worried about. Whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, we'll listen to the voice of the Lord our God to whom we are sending you. Boy, I prepared this message earlier, sort of, and it didn't sound this loud when I was doing it then. So that it may go well with us when we listen to the voice of the Lord our God. So Jeremiah does exactly what he's going to do. Now, if you're Jeremiah and you're a coward, you make something up and you impress everybody. Jeremiah does exactly what he said he was going to do. And he's got the king of Babylon coming who knows when. And he prays for 10 days. It's 10 days where he could have been a dead man and everybody he was talking to. 10 days. For all they knew, this is really incredible. Then he calls for Yohanan again. And all the commanders, and for all the people, both small and great, and said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel, this is very important, to whom you sent me. I'm a prophet of the living God. You asked, you got what you asked for. You sent me to present your petition before him. If you will indeed stay in this land. Now here it is. Here's the incredible prophecy. Once again, now Jeremiah has already been incredible. Jeremiah has already been David going up the hill with a sword in his hand. This is a guy who you want next to you on the front line. This is not a coward. Like, he's looking at guys that'll put a knife in your neck if they think it'll help them live a little longer. They've already done it. You want to get a human to do bad things? Make them scared for their life and make them scared for food on the table. You want to get mankind to act naughty? Make them scared. He's talking to a bunch of scared people. If you will indeed stay in this land, then I will build you up and not tear you down, and I will plant you and not uproot you, for I will relent concerning the calamity that I have inflicted on you. There goes a lot of prosperity theology real quick. Gets better though. The bad things, quote, that were happening, it wasn't the devil or the world doing it. It was God. And it was judgment. It was wrath and it was justice. And they were in a desert. Do not be afraid. Now, this is incredible. Of the king of Babylon. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon. Do not be afraid of the commander of the most powerful, ferocious army existing on earth that's coming for you. You better be right if you're the prophet. Whom you are now fearing. Do not be afraid of him, declares the Lord, for I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. Wow. In the midst of exile, they get a word like that. After all the nonsense they've done, they talk to a prophet, and this is the word that they get. So it goes on, and you'll have to finish chapter 42 by yourself. But you get the idea. Because Jeremiah keeps acting like Jeremiah, and the word of the Lord's not done yet. But you just saw what the promise was. Skip to chapter 43, verse 1. But as soon as Jeremiah, whom the Lord their God had sent, had finished telling all the people all the words of the Lord their God. That is all these words, Azariah, the son of whatever Spencer said his name is, and Yohanan, the son of Kareah, and all the arrogant men said to Jeremiah. What David say? Proud heart and a haughty eye, haughty look. I don't have it. I don't involve myself in matters too difficult for me. Ishmael got involved in matters too difficult for him. He involved himself. He didn't get sent. He put his hands on stuff he should have been asking about. He tried to end in the flesh what had begun in the spirit with his great, 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 great granddad and thought, boy, I'm really going to get this. All the arrogant men looked right at Jeremiah after they asked him and told him, and I quote, may the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us if we don't act in accordance to all the Lord has to say. They said to Jeremiah, you're telling a lie. The Lord our God has not sent you to say you're not to enter Egypt to reside there, because they were going to go to Egypt to hide. Because where they were is getting ransacked and exiled, and Egypt's prospering and in peace. And they're like, that's where we need to go. They accused him of having a co-conspirator. So Yohanan, verse 4, and all the commanders of the forces and all the people did not obey the voice of the Lord to stay in the land of Judah. So they were in exile, Monty, and they had word from the Lord. American church, you have word from the Lord. Today, it's always the same question and always the same question. Do you care enough to listen? And will you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church today? And will you act like it? These stories are not in here just to review and have the hair stand up on the back of your neck and say how great the preacher was. And I was there when they preached that sermon about the thing, and wow, wasn't that something? I never heard that before. No, it's there to change your life. This is me and this is you in the prayer closet without God helping us. This is me watching Fox News if God doesn't help me. The word of the Lord comes. That's not the word of the Lord. If I act like that, I'll lose everything. If I start a youth camp, don't you know we don't have one anymore? And don't you know we don't have money? And don't you know COVID? And don't you know? And don't you know? I'm 65 years old. I've earned this. I don't need to be going to church 3 times a week. Or once. I'm talking to the church, not Fairhaven Christ Fellowship. That's to me too. God's called me to have a heart that's ready to charge the hill and chop off the head of a Goliath, not quit at the first time I don't like something that the Lord's having to say to the church. The men, the women, the children, the king's daughters, every person had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam and grandson of Shaphan, together with Jeremiah the prophet and Baruch, the son of Neriah. They basically take Jeremiah, which would have been against his will. He gives them a word, and insult to injury, they say, not only did you not speak it from the Lord. Now, I'm skipping a lot. You read it. It's unbelievable. They say, you're coming with us. The word was not pretty if you go. They said, you're coming with us. I guess we got our lucky rabbit's foot in case. Part of what you said might have been right. And here's what I wanted. So, verse 7. And they entered the land of Egypt. And they entered the land of Egypt, for they did not obey the voice of the Lord. 9 centuries after the children of Israel walked through the Red Sea, where the path was already made, and it just took a man of God saying yes, it had been there since the beginning of time, they choose now to return. They choose, thinking they're saving their own necks. No, we're going back. One of these things is heading the right way. One of them's the wrong way. Which do you think it is? We're dragging the prophet with us and saying we're going back to Egypt when God already delivered us. So, Jeremiah chapter 43. I'm saying all this for a reason, by the way. When I say you're the church, act like it. It's this severe one way or the other. Lukewarm is not in between. Lukewarm is not in between. One of the first things God judges in Revelation is not homosexuality. I hate to burst your bubble. It's cowardice. Jeremiah chapter 43, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, now the word's coming again. This is pretty amazing, isn't it? Now Jeremiah's got a word. The whole nation asked for a word from the Lord. They rebuked it. They said, that's not the word of the Lord. And they rebuked the prophet, and they drug him back to Egypt with them. If you can hear that, it will send chills down your spine. Then the word of the Lord, it gets wilder, came to Jeremiah, verse 8. Take some large stones in your hands, hide them in the mortar and the brick, which is at the entrance of Pharaoh's palace, in the sight of some of the Jews, and say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Egypt right then is relatively peaceful compared to where they are. They're thinking that's a safe place. This is the word God sends. This is incredible. Behold, now, what was the word before? Do not be afraid of the... Now, I said this message would have been titled before the desert stuff, Obedience in Exile. It would have been titled The Kingdom in Exile. They had the kingdom in exile. They had the opportunity for obedience. The word came, if you stay, do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you are fearing. I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. They chose to go back to Egypt. They drug the prophet with them. They shut him up. And then the word of the Lord comes again through that same prophet and says, you go to where Pharaoh's palace is. You put two stones, you hide them there, because behold, I am going to send and get Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, now. Before I was going to keep you from him, now I'm going to get him myself. He's going to be my servant, and I am going to set his throne right over those stones where you thought was going to be your deliverance. And he's going to spread out his canopy, and buddy, justice is coming. This is incredible. Says he's also, verse 11, he's going to come and he's going to strike the land of Egypt, which you thought was your salvation. It's cowardice. It's where they went to hide. You say, wait, you're judging them hard. They were already in exile. American church, how we doing? How we doing against the societal tide? How's it doing talking about Jesus in the public square today? How's it doing opening up your Bible in school? How's it doing talking to your college professor about a living God? How's your government doing with their fake separation of church and state stuff we've been doing since the 60s that you can't find in the Constitution? How about that? How's that going for us? He will also come and strike the land of Egypt. Those who are meant for death will be given over to death, and those for captivity to captivity, and those for the sword to the sword. And I shall set fire to the temples of the gods of Egypt, and he will burn them and take them captive. So he will wrap himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd wraps himself with his garment, and he will depart from there safely. We're talking about Nebuchadnezzar. He will also shatter the obelisks of Heliopolis, which is in the land of Egypt, and the temples of the gods of Egypt, he will burn with fire. You want to put your hope in man? God says, this is what's going to happen. You asked for the word of the Lord, you got it, and you rejected it. Church of the living God, it is a very incredibly serious thing to clap and now listen. Everything that's happened today, this is not a rebuke. I'm talking bigger than this room. You with me? Everything that's happened in this room, as far as I'm concerned, has been holy and wonderful and awesome and righteous and loving and good and pure and all the good stuff. But this is way bigger than this room. Way bigger. And you're the answer. You're the church of the living God, and our vision of who we are has been far too low. And so we've acted like it. It is very serious to sing songs about the efficacy of the blood of Jesus and then trample all over it with our day-to-day life, telling the whole world that we're sinners, just saved by grace, waiting on the rapture. Lukewarm as all get out, haven't opened our Bible in 3 weeks, don't even know what a prayer meeting looks like. Whiny baby, lack of courage, not chopping head off giants, Christians. And the only way that's going to change is to humble ourselves in the presence of a living God. The only way that's going to change is to be endued with power from on high. The only way that's going to change is to acknowledge God like Jeremiah did. Acknowledge God like David did. Like a weaned. It sounds so counterintuitive, doesn't it? David, if there's one guy that could do something about it, if there's one guy smarter than all of us in a societal situation, it would have been David. He was better at most of us than everything. At everything. Like, if there's a competition, I'm going to lose it. So are you. And David no more knew how to lead a nation than these little girls in the front row. But he knew who his God was. And he acted like it. And giants' heads rolled. And we've been different ever since. Church, you are the answer. And this was a very vivid picture of what it looks like to look at what is and base your walk of faith on what you see. Because we'll take what little strength we have and some sort of Ishmael's going to come out of us. And at the end of the day, you know what that looks like in a rich nation? It looks like a bunch of lazy, cowardly, soft, get offended at the first drop of somebody doing something I don't like Christians, don't preach about something I don't like, and they better sing the songs I do or I'm going down the street. And I have never, if I ever recall preaching like this, I don't remember when. But we cannot be cowards. And it starts in the prayer closet. And go back and read that psalm by King David. I'm not talking about getting wound up and starting a petition. I'm talking about getting low and humbling ourselves. And acting like we know who we're talking to. We need to learn submission once again to a living God. We, the church, have been acting a lot of times more like Ishmael than we have like David. We look at our heritage and say, we got this, God, we're good. That's why when a man like Lauren Helm comes down the pike saying, wait, what are you guys doing? Why don't you let the Lord say what we should be doing? That's why it's so countercultural. It should be the most normal thing in the world. Lauren Helm shouldn't have looked extraordinary to the church. It should have looked like Thursday. It just would have sounded different because God's a God of infinite variety. We should have been waiting on the Lord for 2,000 years. Since Pentecost, it never should have stopped. I didn't tell you this to put you in a bad mood or overwhelm you. I told you this because let's back up. You're the church. You're the church. And if King David can take care of a 9.5-foot giant that put the nation of Israel and its king on their knees, what can an entire church of the living God in unity do, full of the Holy Ghost, moving in obedience and in prayer? What principality, what ruler, what wicked thing of darkness is going to stand against a living, breathing church, the bride of Christ, that rises up and clothes herself and listens to what the groom is saying? Like, what can man do? Yeah, so, there. That's what I got.
I've never sung this song, ever, but I know the writer of it. And I don't have any accompaniment, so it is what it is. It's who we are, who we should be. Mighty tribe of Judah fought their finest fight, braving swords and soldiers, no rest from dawn till night. Though bleeding, torn, and wasted, they fought on for the right. Oh, what a tribe, oh, what a heart, oh, what might. But where is Issachar, my brothers? Can you tell me where they are? I think I saw them standing over there, not very far. 200 captains o'er them, but swords and shield not one. Oh, Issachar, will you retreat? Will you run? Captains of the armies, helpers of the war, armed with bows and arrows, their swords and shields they bore. Asher, Gad, Manasseh, Dan, and Naphtali, join King David's ranks. to fight and set them free. The final conflict soon to start, they waited for the sign. The bravest and the strongest came to fight on the front line. But pushing up in front of them, the tribe they thought would fall. They had no weapons, but they had a heavenly call. They said, "We are Issachar, the warriors. We have no shield or sword. Our weapons are inside. They're understanding from the Lord. Yahweh increased our vision, gave us knowledge from afar. We dropped our swords and joined the tribe of Issachar. Oh Lord, increase my vision, give us knowledge from afar to drop our swords and join the tribe of Issachar."
Well, that wraps up this special edition podcast. And again, we wanted to say thank you for your time and your energy. Once again, if you are able, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast from. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any of our episodes when we push them out. Thanks again for joining us for these Revival Chats.